to be here. Thank you very much for the invitation. I want to share with you over the next 35, 40 minutes some of the work we've been doing at the Open University in the UK. And some of the rest of the team are here, Martin, Simon and Andrew. And we're here for the rest of the conference, so we'd love to talk to you about what we're doing. And I think it follows on really nicely from what Stephen says, because I think we feel very much the same, that we need to shift now to a much more open approach and need to recapture what the concept of learning design actually is. So we're going to talk to you a little bit about the work we've been doing towards achieving some of the visions, actually, Stephen, you were talking about. So I think I'm going to begin with some of the kind of paradoxes we know are around. Forever, you know, there's been this kind of mantra of the wonderful potentials of technologies, and yet they're not really fully exploited. Why? More recently, there's been a massive movement, started, of course, with MIT and others, towards the vision of open educational resources. And yet again, you can argue that there's little evidence of reuse. In both cases, of course, there are good examples, but not perhaps as much as we might hope. So the aspiration is really, how can we really exploit these new technologies? How can we create really innovative activities, have much more student involvement, and create much more enhanced learning experiences for our students? And really, it's about kind of four aspects for us in terms of a much more creative approach to design, guidance and sharing, and reuse. So the question is, could learning design as an approach be a solution to address these issues? And we're talking really about designing for learning, not in the very narrow IMS technical perspective of learning design, but designing for learning. And we think that's got a number of components. First, in terms of guiding designs, in terms of the creation of activities. Secondly, in terms of a means of describing and representing activities. And Simon will be talking in his talk this afternoon, in particular, in more detail about some of the ways we're trying to do that. And a means of sharing activities toward new ways of thinking to enhance the learning experience. So the kind of key focus, if you like, of our work is to try and see if learning design can be a means of addressing this kind of age-old problem of lack of uptake of the potential of technologies in educational settings. So just to give you a bit of an overview of what the project's about, it's funded through our institution, through our Vice-Chancellor's Executive, and it's been going for about a year now. We've got funding until December 2009. And really, there are four interconnected components to the work we're doing. The core underpinning aspect is that we're doing a lot of work at trying to gather evidence to better understand the design process, because we feel that's lacking. We don't know enough about how teachers currently go about designing and what issues they have. And so we're doing a lot of work in the project to understand that more. And then that feeds into the three aspects of the work we're doing, which is work on visualising design, guiding design, and sharing design. And I'm going to show you aspects of that through two tools we've developed, which kind of straddle those three aspects. Compendium LD, which is a tool for visualisation, and Andrew Brasher this afternoon is going to talk in more detail about that. And Cloudworks, which is a new prototype social networking site we've developed for sharing designs. So, in terms of those three components, I'll just briefly give you a kind of outline of the key aspects we see in that, and then go into the tools themselves and the work we've done to date. So in terms of visualising designs, we've done a lot of work through gathering data, through interviewing people, through running workshops, to better understand visualisation and how it can be used in designs. We've come up ways of categorising designs. We've looked at how we can list the various purposes that different designs are for and who they might be for. We've looked at how you can move between different representations of design. And we've also been exploring visualization tools and have developed one ourselves, Compendium LD. Secondly, in terms of guiding, again, there are four aspects. We've been looking at the ways in which design can be guided by looking at existing practice, so case studies, for example, or other resources that people have used. We've been looking at the various learning design tools that have been produced, LAMS, for example, the other work that's been done, JISC, for example, in the UK, have funded two learning design tools, Phoebe and the London Pedagogical Planner, and there are others as well. So looking at those and trying to understand the different ways in which those tools can be used to support the design process. Also, scaffolds. What are the different templates and different approaches and ways of thinking we might provide to guide people through the design process? And also, can we push that a little bit more to think differently and innovatively? And finally, in terms of sharing, we've been trying to understand more about what sharing means and what hasn't worked. So we've had many, many, many repositories of learning objects, repositories of open educational resources. Why haven't they been taken up as much as they could have been? Why is it that social networking sites such as Facebook and Ning and others are having such an impact in recent years? What are the differences? What are the benefits of sharing? What are the purposes? How do we get critical mass and sustainability? And so those aspects are feeding into the work that we're doing in terms of the development of our CloudWorks site. So just to give you an overview of some of the components with respect to those three parts of visualising, guiding and sharing designs, as I said, there's a team of people. Andrew and Simon and Martin are here. Andrew's been leading on the Compendium LD stuff, Simon on the interviews, Martin in terms of the social networking aspects. Juliet White, who's just got married and has changed her name, is leading on the Compendium LD work. And Perry Williams has been helping us populate the site. And Paul Clark has been looking at the student perspective, fitting very much, Stephen, with your aspects about how design can be given over to the student and be much more a student-centred, proactive process. So as I mentioned before, we've been gathering a lot of information about the design process through different areas, and we've been feeding that into our tool development. And we see this very much as an iterative process. So we're not producing beautifully crafted, finalised design. We're adopting very much the perpetual beta approach. We're looking and seeing what users are saying, feeding that into the system, testing it out and seeing what happens. We're gathering and trying to understand what other people are doing around the world in this area and kind of feeding that into the system. And also that linking that in with trials and workshops and events we're running. And all four of those aspects are kind of ongoing and iterating between each other. We feel this approach works. We feel this is a good way of doing it. We feel very strongly that there is no one perfect learning design tool that will be the answer to all the solutions. That the space is more complex than that, and we need to adopt a much more multifaceted approach.